This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. With federal cuts to food programs on the horizon, those in charge of feeding the hungry work to prepare for what's ahead.
When the SNAP cuts come through, who's going to get those benefits? It's typically per person in a family, $6 a day.
That story and more coming up this West Virginia Morning. Support for West Virginia Morning is provided by Hope Gas, committed to the growth and development of West Virginia to strengthen the community. Information at wvisforhope.com. West Virginia's abortion ban law has won a victory in federal court. Chris Schultz has more.
The Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals upheld a 2023 district court ruling that West Virginia can restrict the sale of abortion medication. GenBioPro sells mifepristone, the first drug in an FDA-approved two-drug medication abortion regimen. Their lawsuit claims West Virginia and then-Attorney General Patrick Morrissey violated federal law by prohibiting the sale of the drug. Sean Tu is a nationally recognized expert on patent and drug law and a professor at the University of Alabama School of Law. He says Tuesday's decision upholds states' rights to restrict access to medication beyond the FDA's restrictions.
The Fourth Circuit says that this is really a separation of states' rights and federal rights, and typically you can have more restrictive laws.
As Attorney General, Morrissey defended the state's abortion ban against the suit and said he was proud to see a victory in the case. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Chris Schultz in Morgantown.
The eighth and final former correctional officer charged in connection with the March 2022 beating death of an inmate at the Southern Regional Jail in Beaver has been sentenced. Appearing Monday before U.S. District Court Judge Joseph Goodwin, Andrew Fleshman received a prison term of 8 years and 4 months, according to a press release from the Department of Justice. He admitted to joining other officers in escorting Quantes Burks to his interview room, where they struck and injured him while he was restrained, handcuffed, and posing no threat. The beating, Fleshman admitted, was to punish the man for attempting to leave his assigned pod. Of the 7 other defendants, 6 pleaded guilty and 1 was convicted at trial. Since May, they have all been sentenced to prison terms ranging from 3 to 21 years. 6 coal ash sites in West Virginia or on its borders falls under a federal rule issued last year. But the rule's fate is uncertain. Curtis Tate has more.
One of the less known rules the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency rolled out in the final months of the Biden administration required companies to examine the condition of coal ash disposal sites at inactive power plants. 6 such sites ring West Virginia, according to the group Earth Justice, and they pose hazards to rivers and groundwater. Coal ash contains mercury, arsenic, selenium, chromium, and a variety of other substances that can damage human health. Lisa Evans, senior counsel for Earth Justice, says such sites are not monitored or inspected.
So these are ponds that are not inspected, not maintained, and not monitored. So actually the impact on the environment at these sites is mostly not known.
They may not be lined or capped either, and their contents can seep into groundwater. Electric Utilities filed a lawsuit over the rule in the U.S. Court of Appeals in the District of Columbia. The case is ongoing. EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin said in March the agency would revisit the rule. Evans says the rule imposes the same standards on inactive coal ash sites as it does at ones where a power plant still operates.
So there has to be inspections. There has to be a groundwater monitoring system installed. There has to be a determination of whether the coal ash pond is contaminating groundwater.
And if contamination is found, the company has to clean it up. Karen Wissing, a spokeswoman for Appalachian Power, says it's assessing 2 of the sites on the Kanawha River at Cabin Creek in Glasgow and will submit a plan to the EPA. Its Glen Lynn site on the New River just across the border in Virginia will be remediated according to Virginia law, she said. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Curtis Tate in Charleston.
The head of the West Virginia Republican Party is stepping down at the end of this month to focus on a new role. As Maria Young reports, that leaves the party seeking a successor.
In a letter to the state GOP Executive Committee, Matt Herridge says his resignation as chairman of the party will be effective July 26th at the end of the party summer meeting in Morgantown. That's when the party will elect his successor. In January, shortly after Governor Patrick Morrisey was inaugurated, he appointed Herridge to serve as the Secretary of Commerce. Herridge told the committee that he delayed stepping down while the party searched for a new executive director and elected a new chairman to, quote, begin steering the ship toward midterm elections. At the end of June, Ryan Jacinto was named the next executive director, according to Herridge. He says the time has come to dedicate his full attention to what he calls a critical mission. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Maria Young.
An advisory body for the West Virginia Division of Natural Resources is piloting a new meeting format to boost public engagement. Jack Walker reports.
The Natural Resources Commission will host its next meeting July 24 at 5 p.m. But this time, the meeting will be simulcast to six locations across West Virginia, specifically in Beckley, Charleston, Elkins, Farmington, Parkersburg, and Romney. The new meeting format aims to bolster public participation from different corners of the state. According to a meeting agenda, the commission is set to discuss hunting and fishing policies for 2026 and ruffed grouse population regrowth efforts. The commission will also take public comments. The meeting can be accessed via live stream as well. For more information, visit our website at wvpublic.org. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Jack Walker in Shepherdstown.
This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:50. Areas of fog this morning, becoming partly sunny, humid today. A chance of rain and thunderstorms, highs in the 80s and 90s. Cloudy overnight with rain and thunderstorms possible, low temperatures in the 60s and 70s. Partly sunny tomorrow with a chance of rain and thunderstorms, highs in the 80s and 90s. Support for WVPB is provided by Hope Gas, committed to the growth and development of West Virginia to strengthen the community. Information at wvisforhope.com. Research from the Feeding America organization shows more than a quarter million West Virginians get healthy food through the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP. Their research also notes the just-passed federal reconciliation bill will eventually shift more than $80 million of SNAP costs to the state. Randy Yowie spoke with Cindy Kirkhart, CEO of the Huntington-based Facing Hunger Food Bank, on how these SNAP changes may affect thousands of Appalachians, many of them already living in food deserts.
Cindy, what does the food bank do, and who does it serve and where?
We serve 12 counties in West Virginia, 4 counties in eastern Kentucky, and Lawrence County, Ohio. On good days, we're serving about 130,000 souls, but right now we're seeing an uptick of about 24%, so that put us at about 156,000.
How are you funded? What's your annual budget?
You know, we have a lot of direct donations from the public, but we also receive a good amount of grant funding, and then we have some administrative funding from the Department of Agriculture.
How does it work? How do you get the food? And where does it go?
So about 40% of our food is considered donated, but that includes the food resources, commodities that we receive from the Department of Ag. We have a really robust retail donation Kroger's and Walmart's that we pick up from there. And then what we don't get donated, we purchase.
And then where does it go? How does it get distributed?
We have a network of about 253 partner agencies. So we go out into the counties where those pantries and service providers are and directly distribute to them. We have folks that come in and pick up product directly from the food bank. Then we do mobile pantry distributions, backpack distributions, and then our other programming.
So explain briefly what SNAP benefits are and how that relates to the food bank and its customers or clients.
SNAP benefits are basically what we used to refer to as food stamps. So that is that supplemental nutrition assistance program. So for families that live in poverty, they receive SNAP benefits through an EBT card that then they can go out and make direct purchases of foods that they prefer. A lot of what the food bank may have to provide to them maybe isn't a choice product for them. So it is supplemental for them to be able to go out and purchase those foods that they need for their families.
How will the provisions of the federal reconciliation bill, the big beautiful bill, the budget bill, whatever you want to call it, how will that affect West Virginians who use your food services?
We understand that some of these changes won't come into play right now, okay? But things like the tariffs are coming into play. So those typically hit lower income families harder, because a lot of the tariffs are on products that are cheaper, made in China and that type of thing. So they're going to start feeling pinches in their income. Then when the SNAP cuts come through, you know, a lot of that's being pushed down to the state level. And with the state having to make some determinations about that programming, because now they're going to have to deal with the administrative and the benefits. Governor Morrissey has a challenge, right? He's going to have to determine how he's going to implement and sustain that program. So the financial cuts will come to the state. Then the state's going to have to decide who's going to get those benefits. And Randy, we both know that it's typically per person in a family, $6 a day. Now, you and I would probably be very challenged to feed a family on $6 a day per person. It is equally challenging for those families. So we're looking at then a higher demand for the food bank. And you and I've talked previously, very recently, that our food resources from the Department of Ag have been cut by a significant amount. So we're really right now starting to look at what can we do to feed families for the next couple of years.
The reconciliation bill provisions don't really go into effect until late 2026, as we've said. Does that time frame offer any chances of solving problems?
I think that we have established a very positive relationship with the West Virginia legislature, and we look forward to continuing to develop our partnership with the governor. That is our only recourse right now, is how collectively can we work together to address what we understand is coming down the road. I think we've got great partners like Delegate Evan Worrell and Speaker Hanshaw, folks who have always understood the needs of hungry West Virginians who want people to have healthy food. So we're hoping to parlay that into additional support to ensure that we don't add to hungry West Virginian rosters.
Anything else on this subject that you want to offer that I didn't ask?
I think it's incredibly important for our members of Congress to be listening to the information that we provide to them and help us collectively as a state address what is clearly a hunger tsunami coming down the road.
That was Facing Hunger Food Bank CEO Cindy Kirkhart speaking with Randy Yowie on the future of SNAP benefits in West Virginia. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, WVPublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University and Marshall University School of Journalism and Mass Communications. West Virginia Morning is produced with help from Bill Lynch, Chris Schultz, Curtis Tate, Eric Douglas, Jack Walker, Maria Young, and Randy Yowie. Maria Young produced today's show. I'm your host, Teresa Wills. This is West Virginia Morning.